We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe. Now broadcasting from the Best Yet Studios in Boston, it's NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance, with Fourier, Wiggy, and Keefe on WEEI.
It's the bye week for the Patriots, but we are here on NFL Sunday, brought right from our Best Yet Studios here in Brighton. It is Rich Keefe, Christian Fourier, and Jermaine Wiggins, taking it up until 1 o'clock. Then we have an NFL doubleheader here on WEEI for your listening enjoyment. Guys, how are you?
I'm doing great. Are we not going to break with this crazy breaking news that NFL Network is talking about? Like, it's a major seismic shift.
All right, let's get to it. Do you have the sounder? You have the sounder, John? That's right.
Is Christian already breaking news?
Yeah, he's got big news. Well, it's right behind you. Wiggy, it's right behind you, NFL Network. Matt Stafford out, Jeff Driskel in.
Okay.
I know that.
We know Christian breaks Detroit noise either.
we don't care, right? Honestly, I mean, and if the NFL Network is funny, they're starting their show, they're like, I have in my hand the rundown for the entire show.
Yeah.
Guess what?
We're
not going to do it anymore because we have breaking news. Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
Oh, nationally, fine. I guess it's a big story. The dude never misses anything. But do you care about Jeff Driskel at all?
No, Florida. Did we see a guy that went to Florida and transferred somewhere? Is that right?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you if you
do you even care about the Lions at all.
You could tell me where he went to school.
Yeah, not bad.
He sucked at Florida.
And then he went to like Florida Atlantic or something afterwards, right? I think he like got chased from Florida because of somebody was better or something like that. But anyway, Jeff Driskel in. Yeah, that's a weird kind of breaking news. But I guess, because the Lions aren't even a playoff team. Like the Lions are a mess. But if he misses a few games, I wonder if this will help Patricia keep his job, because you're like, he didn't have Stafford.
Well, I'll tell you what, like Matt and I were down here in the shed down by the stadium, and we were actually kind of holding our breath because we're like, wait, is this Gronk news? Is this Gronk a new announcement? He's coming back? He got me on this one. Matt got me on here on this one about the whole. I think it's Gronk. I was like,
nope,
what?
It's Stafford.
What?
Well,
it was Stafford. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
It's funny you say that because the breaking news, if it wasn't for Stafford, may have been about Gronk, because NFL Network's Ian Rappaport had an article out there. It's funny when Rappaport and Adam Schefter,
the real Ian Rappaport,
the correct Ian Rappaport from NFL.com, it's a verified website. he had a Gronk story today, and I thought this Gronk thing was dead and buried finally, but he's got a new one.
I'm holding on to a little bit of hope.
Well, now maybe your percentage is going to go up, Wiggy, after you hear this, because the headline: Pats Robert Kraft wants Rob Gronkowski back for playoffs. I can't imagine is too much of a shocker there, but and in the article it says that as Rob Gronkowski was cleaning out his locker, Robert Kraft walked up to him to say goodbye, and according to sources, Kraft delivered a clear and concise message that would resonate for months. Kraft told Gronkowski that he wants him to return for November, December, and a playoff run, and if that happened, the team not only would welcome him back, but will remain hopeful that it happens. What do you guys think of that?
Here we go.
I like it.
Somebody needs to take Ian Rappaport, like that whole like that movie Old School where the van comes up and they throw him in the van.
Yeah.
They need to do that and just keep him in isolation until the season is over. Guys like him and Florio, they're the biggest problem with just constantly toying with our emotions. I said it before. I said it to you last year, Keith and Mutt, back at the Super Bowl, the morning of the Super Bowl. He's done. He's not playing.
Yes.
He didn't play. He retired. He went on Greg Hill's show. You got your most honest answer from him on Greg Hill show.
Right.
Done. I'm not playing. Guys, I just keep saying stuff.
I'm
and then he goes on Joe Thomas's podcast, this stupid podcast, this stupid show.
Right.
And he keeps toying with everybody to the point where you should get irritated as a fan. He's just toying with your emotions.
But I know why he's doing it, though. Like, I'm not that irritated because I get it. Like, I get why he wants to, you know, sort of leave the door open for people to speculate and for people to talk about
him. Keeps him relevant.
Meanwhile, he's just adding more and more shows.
He's on like five different shows. He doesn't need football to be relevant.
He doesn't.
Yeah, but don't you really think about it? Think about this, right? We've seen him How many times have we seen him on Fox? You in order to see him on Fox, you got to be watching the Fox early edition.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
But so to stay relevant, when you think of relevancy with Rob Gronkowski, it's about name always being out there. And when these things pop up, what do? We go, uh-oh, is there a chance Gronk comes back? Is there a chance Gronk comes back? And then, you know, if you're up for the early edition of Fox Sports at, you know, 6 a.m., maybe you'll get a chance to see him and he'll answer it.
So where is this coming from now? Do you think this was just the Patriots trying to just put it out there? And talking to Rapport, like, hey, put this out. Or did Rapport know this for a while and he wanted to wait till November? Is that what it was?
That's it. Bye week, no stories. Yeah, I don't think there's an issue whatsoever with relevancy. The guy just retired. There's no way. He's a huge name. Everywhere he goes, people recognize him. He's constantly being asked to be a guest on shows and you name it. And then the other day, last week, it was the relationship with TV12 and the ice shaker that his brother, the little business that his brother's doing. So, I mean, he's just in everything. I feel like he has no exposure, negative exposure as far as risk. Like there's no risk for him jumping on with his brother and ice shaker. That's a plus plus.
Right.
So he's gonna be a contestant on this new game show. I thought he was gonna be a host. He's just a contestant on this new game show.
Oh, that's nothing.
So that's
a one off.
Yeah. He's really not. I don't know. Really working that hard, and then he's. So, I don't know. I mean, he's doing – they also talked about that app that he's doing for Michael Strahan where he's got to be in L.A. He's got to film for like 2 weeks. Woo! I tell you what. Put me in L.A. during the wintertime, and I'll tell you what, you don't even have to pay me.
I think you can bring him back and tell him just, hey, don't worry about it. Just play inside the 20s. Be a red zone guy.
That's all you want. He's a specialist.
That's all I want.
Well, listen, I would say – I always thought that that's what he would do anyways. All right, so if you're going to get me to come back and I just don't want to get hit anymore because I feel like that's – for me, that was always – I just was so tired of getting hit. I just avoided contact at all cost because I didn't like the rehab that came with it. Even just bumps and bruises, I was sick of it. So imagine him, and I would say he's probably been banged up and beat up more than anybody that I can remember. Not in the history of the NFL, but that I can personally remember as far as shots to the legs, to the knees, just bad luck, good luck. I mean, just everything has happened to this guy. So – I would just not want to mess with it. I would want a Jimmy Graham package where from the 20 in and I'm coming out on blocking plays. And if I am on a blocking play, you got to flex me out and I'm blocking the corner.
And they're running the other way.
Backside cut off.
From the slot. So
as a receiver backside, you basically take two steps and push him in the back.
There's no chance it's coming back this way. If it comes back this way, somebody made a mistake on the front side.
Yeah, you got to stay front side back. What are you doing cutting it back? There's no blocking there.
But that's what I would think that if you could get, and maybe there's a chance you get a conference call between Bill, Tom, and Kraft.
Do you think they're going to get in a conference call together?
Yeah, maybe because he's busy. He's all over the place, all right?
So like we got a Google Hangout?
Yeah, like whatever Skype. It is. Whatever that app is that Tom Curran uses, right?
That's good.
So you say, hey, here's what we need from you, Rob. Inside the red zone. That's it.
Yeah.
We'll give you $1 million a touchdown.
Oh, now it's just all a touchdown instead.
That's it. Give you $1 million. We'll still pay you a salary.
You're demanding the ball every single time.
But that would give him a little bit of a boost.
It would give him some incentive to do it.
For a guy that he has it all. Guys, he's accomplished everything.
More
in his – I would say he had a long career compared to other guys. But it wasn't like – he went 14-15.
He wasn't like a Tony Gonzalez.
I'm glad you didn't say a short career, though, because that drives me nuts. And everybody's like, guy retired so early. Like, did he, though? Like, for a guy who had played 9 years in the NFL, that's pretty damn good.
An 8-10-year career in the NFL is really, really,
really long.
But when you think of comparing him to
the greats.
Shannon Sharp, Tony Gonzalez.
Well, some of those guys did play forever.
They're playing like 15 years. I mean, look at Jason Witten. Look at Ben Watson. And Ben Watson's been in the league, what, 15, 16 years?
Yeah, I'll take Gronk's career.
No. So when you look at it compared to some of the greats, you go, wow, he had a shorter career.
No, okay. But there's also Hall of Famers who played less than him. You know, there are guys like Terrell Davis who played less than
he did. I know, but I'm talking about when you compare him to other tight ends.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you could say that about other tight ends.
How long did Jay Novacek play?
A long time.
Did he?
Yeah, he played. He probably played 13, 14 years.
I know you like Jay Novacek.
Gronk is
the Wyoming guy.
Gronk is probably one. Like. When you think of Rob Gronkowski, he's probably one of the all-time greats at the tight end position that played.
He's a rare double cowboy.
That played the least amount.
I love how Rich and I are just having our own conversation.
Sorry, Wiggy. Trying to actually
there are so many more layers to that, Wiggy.
I know, but I'm trying to make a point that he's arguably one of the greatest tight ends, and he's played the least when you compare him to the other greats.
No, that's probably true. Yeah,
you know
go back.
You know what's funny, though? Like, I always think about this one. When you think of, like, college athletes who they go in as freshmen, you know, and, you know, I mean, I was a five-year guy. I don't know about you, Wiggy, or Keith. I don't know how. I mean, I was a five-year guy. So most, just call it 4 years.
Yeah, I was, 4 years I played. Yeah.
You had to sit out a year, though, right?
Yeah, I had to sit out.
Georgia,
so
four seasons.
Yeah. I wasn't three and done.
Yeah, but think about
it. I drafted free agents
early. Okay.
Think about these guys that, so let's say you have an eight-year career. Yeah. Imagine, compare it to, like, when you go to college as a freshman and you're leaving after 4 years, imagine all the things that you accomplish, all the relationships that you build, just everything that can happen to you in 4 years. Now, okay, so that's an entire college career right there. And then you add another 4 years. So that's two college careers. I try to think about it like that when I see a guy hit 8 years, or when I see a guy hit, you know, 10 years, I'm like, wow, that's two redshirt college football seasons. I mean, you redshirted.
Right.
I mean, that's forever.
Right.
That is forever. So,
and think about it, for him too, same quarterback, same coach. Like, that's the other thing. How many guys in the NFL have played 9 years in one city with one quarterback throwing the ball and with one head coach, with one, you know, that's very difficult to do.
Yeah. It's very difficult to do in this modern era of the whole free agency and guys trying to get money everywhere. But I still believe, like, there could be a nice potential role for him if he was decided that, hey, you know what? And maybe $1 million is crazy, a touchdown, but maybe you give him like $500,000 a touchdown.
Oh God, can you imagine? I'm thinking to myself right now, because I kind of consider, I'm nowhere near the skill level of Gronk, but okay, I'm in a position where I never want to play football again. Like and he's fresh out of it. I think he has a sour taste in his mouth. So let's just say Bill's like, listen, I'm going to give you a month to train. Do you think you can come back? We're going to pay you X. I think I would go to work out the first day, and I would sit there and go, F
nope.
This.
Yeah, but
it's
not happening.
I think the difference is not
happening. It's physical, which is one part, but then you mentally have to condition yourself to get ready for just everything that comes with it. And then once you're out, like, you're out. Like, Witten is such a rare exception to the rule.
That one was odd.
But even Gronk, when he was on the Greg Hill show that day, and I was in studio with him, and Greg asked him about, you know, how long it would take for him, he was like, yeah, I could get back out there, and, you know, I only need a couple weeks.
I wrote that off as, like, he's doing the CBD medic stuff, so I think he wants to prove to everybody that he feels great because of it. But I don't know if that's necessarily him telling the truth.
No, but I'm taking, like, what type of training is he doing?
Yeah.
You know, is he still training hard to the point where he's, you know, he's getting out there, he's running hard? There's a difference of, like,
it looks like he's taking it easy on the weights.
The weights, but I'm not talking about the weights, because the weights is really not going to be, that's not the issue for him. It's about the training element. Are you going out there and you're, like, pushing yourself through, you know, different, it's like interval style of running and training and running routes and that kind of thing, because that's the thing that's where you're gonna have to knock the rust off.
Well, and one of the other parts of
it is, can't just be on a treadmill, you know, jogging.
I'm sure if he did, like, hypothetically, if he did come back, maybe they'd give him some special treatment. But if he was like, hey, I don't want to practice on, like, Wednesdays or whatever, do you think they'd be up for that?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
that might help, right? Like, part of that, like, either I'm going to be limited all week, was it LaDainian Tomlinson that would take, like, a day off every single week or something like that?
But Rich, you got to understand, the practice now versus when Christian and I played.
Yeah, it's really nothing anymore.
Wednesdays are basically Fridays. Okay. Wednesdays, Thursdays.
Yeah. It's less than Friday.
Well, I mean, I can only imagine because just from hearing people in this era. So for him, it's not really the practice.
But it did sound like the practices were an issue. And Tommy Kern will join us at 11:30 today. But he had written about it in the past. And some of it was, not only was Gronk really the only kind of tight end during games, and they had to lean on him there, but even in practice, like,
but
he was the only
was
guy getting reps.
What
and I was
Bill,
like, all right.
But I think it was more from hearing Gronk, it was more of the way Bill talked to him and coached him.
Right.
His style. You know
and
what I mean? You know
how much
I mean?
Will that change, you think?
It probably will be different.
A little bit different?
Yeah.
Now, as far as the rules are concerned, as Ian Rapoport points out, if you're looking for the details on it, the last day for Gronk and the Patriots to agree to a deal, he'd have to be on the official roster November 30th, which is the day before the Week 13 game. So we're talking about 20 days. He's on the reserve retired list, so if he doesn't come off it by then, he's not eligible to play.
Okay, so basically we got to, what you said, November 30th?
30th, so you got, and that's Saturday before.
That's when the Gronk clock ends.
Yeah, basically, let's call it 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
You got 3 weeks to figure it out. And that's the other thing, so if you're going back to if he can get himself into shape, if he's going to be playing in 3 or 4 weeks, wouldn't the decision have to be pretty soon? Like right, like now
it would have to be. He would already have to decide.
Or already had to, right? Yeah.
Well,
right.
No, he would already have to tell them. Listen, I'm going to come back. So you know what? So as far as manipulating your schedule, you know, moving players around, you know, finding cap space because you are going to have to pay them. So they would have to known about this like a month ago. He's not. It's not going to be. Hey, yeah, I'm ready right now. Well, Gunner, I mean, we got this. I mean, whose spot are you going to take? We don't have any money, and we just did this, and we just did that. So I just don't think they work that way.
There would have to be communication between them and him right now. Hey, is there any chance you could come back? What are you feeling? What's the percentages? Gronk, we need to know something. Yeah, we only have 3 weeks left. We want to be able to prepare for this. And there would have already been some type of backdoor communication.
So do you raise your percentage up at all after reading this today? Or is this just a nothing thing? No, Wiggy. Because Wiggy was saying yes the whole time. But then last week, I think we kind of finally broke him down where it was like 3% chance he's back.
It's the percentage is really low.
Okay,
now.
All right.
It's really.
So even this little like, ooh, Robert Kraft said all along, we'd love to have you back in November. It's November.
Well, I mean, that brings it up a little bit because maybe they can start pushing right now.
Right.
So.
It is a weird thing, though. I don't think anybody really retires and is like, I'll definitely be back. Because then you're not really retired.
Their biggest issue is the red zone, and who better to help you down there than Gronk?
Well, they got to.
I know, but you know what? How about Ben Coates? What is he doing now?
I think Ben would come back.
I think that's why I think this is where it just kind of gets silly to me. And I'll play along, but when I sit there and actually put my when I put my reality cap on, I have a totally different perspective of things, and I go, you know, Ben Coates has a
zone. Fourier was good. I don't see why not. You're local. You're going to have to move.
He probably could help out. They need help there. Hey, if Christian can suit up and, you know, run in a couple corner routes and lay out and catch some of those diving corner touchdowns.
Listen, I can't run to my car right now. You know what? Every time I play in that Best Buddies tournament, like the thing that Brady has, so every year I'll do it. And every year, I pull my calf. I am that old guy that runs out there, and he's screaming at me, why don't you go get that ball? I'm like, dude, first of all, I haven't ran in, 15 years. I just don't do it anymore. Yeah. I'm against it.
Well, what's the point?
Right, there's really no need to run.
What is the point? Does that make any sense?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm not looking to release any endorphins. I can get the same out of just having sex or
and you don't have to worry about pulling something.
Yeah. Actually, you might.
You might. Depends on the angle.
Yeah, it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, it's not happening. Now, Wiggy, you say he could be a red zone target. And I remember this was actually a big story last year. In the regular season, how many red zone targets do you think Gronk had?
In the regular season?
Yeah. How many times did they throw to him in the red zone?
I'd say maybe about 20 times.
Eight. They threw to him 8 times for 3 catches, 1 touchdown.
Yeah, because he didn't have a ton. He only had, 4 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, whatever it was.
Yeah, 4 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah, it wasn't
that was last year. What was the year before that, though?
I bet you the year before
last year was different. Last year was weird. Right.
Last year he only had 3 touchdowns. He was better the year before that, but again, what do you think he'd be more like now? 2017 Gronk or 2018 Gronk?
No, but if you knew that
worse.
You knew that you were just going to target him in the red zone, then obviously those red zone targets would be the number one reason why you're bringing him back. You know what I mean?
You'd have to go to him because I don't know what the reasoning was last year, but he wasn't really. He's more of a decoy.
But
in the
red zone. It was more of his health. And you know, there's a difference between being a red zone target when all you got to know is you're coming on the field during the red zone versus, all right, I'm a red zone target, but I've been on the field since, you know, we've had the ball inside our own 20.
Yeah, the year before, 21 red zone targets and 6 touchdowns. I mean, it was completely different.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to deal with the fact that he was, you got to understand, there are guys like, and Christian brought up Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham you know, doesn't he'll be on the field, but he really knows, okay, his antennas go up once the ball gets in the 20.
Yeah.
Gronk would be in that same type of boat where you're not really going to be on the field when, you know, you're between the 20s or you're backed up. We don't need you there. Once we start getting close to that red zone,
right,
that's when we're going to call on you.
All right, let's see if you guys think, coming up here, if their first-round pick could be a red zone target. He could have played last week. He did not. We'll talk about N'Keal Harry when we get back. Also, we can get to your phone calls between now and 1 o'clock, 617-779-7937. And Tom E. Kern will join us at 11:30. This is a bi-week edition of NFL Sunday brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
Back to NFL Sunday with Christian Fourier, Jermaine Wiggins, and Rich Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
When I retired for a reason because I needed to step away. So it would be a no.
It's a no.
It would be a no.
It's a no.
Yes, yeah. It would be a no. There it is.
It's a no.
Yeah, but I never say no because I've said no, and everyone's like, yeah, he's kidding.
Right.
They're like, yeah, he's coming back.
But
like
it's legit. It's legit. It's a no.
Yeah, it's a
no. It's a no. You're not coming back.
Yeah, that's in my mind. That's how it is. It's a no.
It's a no.
Yeah, but obviously, and everyone's I keep it open because even if when I do say no, it's like people are like, yeah, right, he's kidding. Or so they always spin it. So, but in my mind, it's a no.
It is a no, right?
But that's in
seems
his
like
mind.
A no to
hold
me.
Hold on, I want to make sure
mind,
it's a no.
It means it could change.
It's a no.
It's a no.
When he says in my mind,
it's a no.
He didn't give me a he didn't give me a hard definite no.
Seems like it. Well, and he told you why.
I think he said it was a no.
He says it's a no, and he said, and the reason why I don't always say no is because nobody believes me anyway.
Yeah, so he's just messing with everybody,
right? I think it's pretty much case closed. He's not coming back.
It's a no.
It's a no. Thank you, Greg. I'm not sure if people understood. Is it a no?
Percentages are really dropping.
It's
on
a
this
no.
One.
Yeah, it's a no.
It's really no. Dropping.
I think, and not to get all down this path, but I think Antonio Brown has a better chance of catching a pass in the NFL again than
from
Rob Gronkowski. Well, Brady or anybody. That just because I think Gronk is at 0%, and Antonio Brown certainly not trending in the right direction for him. But I think he at least wants to play. He hasn't retired.
Well, we know he wants to play.
Yeah. So
it's a negative zero. What's less than zero?
Yeah, no, I would say negative.
Negative numbers, I guess.
Negative one, negative two,
negative
three.
Four. Somewhere in there.
I would say negative a million or negative
a million.
Trillion
the
would
biggest
be.
Number in the world. 1 million.
It's a no.
No, trillion. Negative what's trillion? 900.
That's a lot of zeros. That's a lot of zeros.
That's really
so
negative.
If you're looking for a red zone target, could N'Keal Harry be that guy?
You speaking my language now, Keith. Preach. I feel like I'm in church right
listen,
now.
Listen,
tell me something else, sir. What's N'Keal Harry going to do? How's he going to line up in the slot, though? Can you run a pop pass, sir? Oh, my God.
That's a Bishop Clefro Fourier.
I'm just asking the question. I don't know if he will. I don't know if Brady will look his way. I don't know if he'll be active. I don't know if he'll dress.
So.
I don't know what's going on with this guy.
I don't think he get much.
You don't think he's
going
to dress next
he's
week?
He's 6'4". 225. You would think he's a pretty prime tight end. He basically
is a tight end.
Yeah, he's a.
That
tight
was
end.
My playing weight for like 3 years. I mean, I'm not even kidding. Yeah. It's amazing. I don't know, Wiggy man. I can't believe that. I feel like you're on the Glenn Ordway, Lou Maloney side of this, where like Lou has him catching less than 15 catches in the next seven games.
Yeah,
I think that's insane.
Why do you think it'll be more?
Yeah, because I'm kind of like, when I look at him, I put him in like the Jacoby Myers category.
Yep.
I think he's 10 times the player Jacoby Myers.
No, I'm not saying he's not, but I'm talking about as far as production. He could catch, 10 to 15 balls from now until the end of the season. I don't see him going out and all of a sudden Brady's.
He's a first round pick.
Yeah, but I don't see Brady talking.
It's different than
him.
Jacoby Myers.
Okay, so let's ask this then. Philadelphia, do you think he's active?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, and if he is active, how many times?
And he gets the first pass. He gets the first pass.
So how many times do you think he's targeted?
Six. I think he catches four passes. I think he catches four. No. You know, but because, if you say two, that means when they want to, I guess, introduce or get somebody going, they create a play for him. They did it with Sanu.
Him the ball early. We know that.
Said, we're gonna get you the ball early. We're gonna remove that anxiety that probably comes with your first game and your first catch, and then everything is easier. I mean, it just is. So slants, diagonal routes, flat routes, mm-hmm. anything where even if it's a 1 yard game, the guy caught the ball. Look at go back and look at Josh Gordon's first three games.
Yeah.
And look how many times he ran a slant route. And tell me how many times he had somebody in his face. Actually, don't worry about it. The answer is zero. I mean, they gave him such a big cushion. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, so, but even Mohamed Sanu, first game, that's a guy that Brady clearly likes. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran guy, so he checks off all those boxes. The first game, he was targeted five times, had two catches.
Yeah, but I don't really throw the first game in there because the weather conditions were horrible.
Okay.
That was that game when it was against Cleveland, and just the weather conditions were extremely bad. I look at more of the Baltimore game, good weather conditions, throwing the football.
No, but my point is if you're trying to get him involved, and maybe the weather was a factor, but I'm saying if you're really trying to get him involved, and if that's before they think they're going to do with N'Keal Harry, I'm saying even with Sanu, it didn't look right the first game.
Right.
Second game, they got him much more involved.
Right.
Maybe too much
It wasn't one of those Antonio Brown first games.
No, it was not. And you're not going to have that with, I mean.
But you had maybe didn't have a ton of that with even Josh Gordon. They kind of, I don't know. I mean, Christian feels like he's going to get five, six.
So you think Harry's going to have better numbers than Josh Gordon did this season? Like, so Gordon played six games, really less than that because he got hurt.
No,
but he was active.
No. Okay. What did Gordon end with? Like 40?
20 catches?
Like 700 yards?
No. You're talking about last
season.
Year.
I'm talking about this season.
This season.
Just this season.
You're thinking
alone.
Of last year.
Yeah, no.
I think
Gordon had 20 for 287 and a touchdown in six games.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's about 20 catches. Yeah, about 20, 25.
Right.
Yeah.
That's basically Jacoby Myers. Look at Jacoby Myers' numbers.
I'm not even convinced that N'Keal Harry is going to. Where they have seven games left, I'm not even convinced he's going to be active for all seven games. Because last week they really only played three receivers.
Right.
Jacoby Myers got in there because Philip Dorsett had to leave for a play.
Mm-hmm.
Myers he was active and played one snap.
Right.
And so did Harry already leap over Myers? I know their skill sets are different, but just as far as receivers who you're going to address, they were even last week. They said they didn't even need Gunner, sort of like on an emergency receiver. They didn't even have him. They only played three receivers. Now, that might have been the game plan against Baltimore, and it'll probably be different against, or will be different against Philly. But I don't know. He's probably the lowest guy on the totem pole.
This is where I put him. Jacoby Myers through eight games, 14 catches, 172 yards.
Yeah, like most of that's in two games, right?
But that's where.
No, but I understand. Yeah.
But that, you know, there's.
But that's not even. That's not them. That's not him. Them. Forcing the issue, that's him being the third option and being open.
But that's what I mean. I think there's
an element of luck to
it. But I don't think N'Keal Harry's going to be a guy where they're going to go, all right, we're going to try to get him the football early so he can get rid of some of these jitters that he has and we can try to force him to football. I mean, if they do, I would be shocted.
But that's what history tells us. Like This is what teams do with rookies. One, that you have to – it's baptism by fire. And I would say – it's not like the dude like broke his leg and was in the training room.
Right.
Right. He was at practice. He was in meetings. He's practiced. He would have had 5 weeks of practice. If he doesn't suit up and they don't use him, what a colossal pick this guy was. I don't think he is. I do think he'll play. I do think he'll be he's not their ace, but he's going to be part of the solution to a lot of issues, I think, personally.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, because you look at the receivers that they've had on this team earlier in the year and, mm-hmm. and what it's left with. And I don't know if you could just have, you know, is Edelman and Sanu and James White enough? Like, are those the guys? Because clearly, you know, you'll have a grabber here or there from Dorsett, a grab here or there from Watson. But if those three guys are targeted 25 to 30 times, is that enough? Or do you need N'Keal Harry in the offense?
You need N'Keal Harry. I would say, think about you mentioned Watson. All right, Watson caught a seam route. He had some late checkdowns. He had like a shallow cross. Nothing real, I don't know.
Right.
Creative. It was just a seam route. They finally threw the ball down the seam. I didn't think it was happening. That's N'Keal Harry's catch right there.
Yeah, but then
that's
they threw the ball down the seam to him in Baltimore, and he dropped it, which would have been a huge catch.
I'm saying that's he's 50-50.
But that's what, when that you those, look at
think,
when you look
I think
at
those
this,
are his catches. I think those are N'Keal Hetches.
Yes.
Those are N'Keal Harry's.
So
catches.
You think they line N'Keal Harry up in the slot and they run him on some seam routes?
I do. I consider him because I mean,
see,
there
I think
are, there's a bunch
that
of
guy.
Seasons. Well, I think he's interchangeable. Where is he better served, Wiggy, in this offense? I guess with the least amount of stress. When I say stress, I mean responsibility. What position can he play where he doesn't need to carry a lot of check with me baggage, you know, blitz alert baggage, you know, blocking? Where could he go where he would have the least amount of responsibilities?
And
cause the most damage.
I would have to say if you could put him in the role that you had Josh Gordon.
That's it. I mean, that Josh, do you think Josh Gordon was adjusting any routes?
No, put him in that role. Yeah. Slants, back shoulders.
Slants and goes. Yep. Slants and goes, slants and goes, slants and goes.
Slants, goes, back shoulders.
Sure. A jump ball. Occasional middle read. I mean, that's a
play action, you know, 15, 18 yard end route.
Yep. Do you think though that Tom Brady would view N'Keal Harry as, oh, this is like a younger Josh Gordon, or does he view him as, this is a guy who has been hurt all year?
I see. And that's the $1 million question.
And he I think Brady remembers Josh Gordon as the guy with the Browns that was torching people. I think that's still in his head, whereas he doesn't really know anything about N'Keal Harry.
Well, I think there was some instant, I guess, trust with the fact that he did have a resume,
yes,
where he was a badass. So
yes,
they're like, all right, I'm gonna start this relationship with assuming he knows he can do it, right?
Yeah.
You got to throw him the ball. He's a vet. There may be some apprehension with Brady with N'Keal, and that only comes with success. The more times you do it in practice, the more you rep it out, and then you put it into practice. So here's the first 15 plays. Bam, N'Keal, we're coming to you right away. I mean, okay, great, slant. This guy does this. You don't really have any responsibilities. If you're not open, he's not throwing you the ball. That's it.
But that's one of those things where if they do try to feed him early against Philly, how important those first few attempts are, you know, because if he runs the wrong
route
or drops a pass or whatever, it's just – I don't know if it's – I mean, it's become like such a talking point with Brady and the young receivers. But it's true. Like, once the guy kind of lets him down, it's like, all right, forget it. I'll go. I have enough guys here that I can trust that I can throw to Edelman every single time. I can throw to Sanu now, and I can throw to James White every time, and I'll get by.
If I'm Josh McDaniels, what I do is I see how they're playing coverage on him early, and I throw him like a now, and I say, okay, let's see what he can do when he catches it.
Off, yeah.
You know, and a now is basically just Brady's going to get the ball and throw it to him. Right now, it turns around. Let's see if he can make a guy miss.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what he does. And like Christian says, give him that confidence to get maybe those jitters out. And if he can do that and get that like a six, seven yard on that play, then it maybe come back with a slant route.
You know, the one thing that can happen, if you want to see him regress and never see the field again, and I'm not even gonna say this out loud because I don't want it to happen.
Oh,
I don't want it to happen.
Whoa.
I don't want it to happen.
Come on, you gotta tell us. Now
Kareem,
tell us.
I mean, I go back to Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's his first carry was against the Patriots and he fumbles it. And if he was in the Patriots offense, imagine what happened?
Yeah,
he caught the ball.
You'll never see him again.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Well, that's why I said you run a you run a hitch with him, get the ball in his hands, and let's see what he does. And not that he has to do anything spectacular, but he gets that little bit of confidence. And if it's early in the game, now in his mind he could go, oh, okay, they're going to use me. Because, see, that's the biggest thing for guys that catch the football, right? If they don't get the ball to you early, you start to think like, man, are they ever going to use me? What are they going to do here? And you don't want that first catch to have to be, or that first target to be in the third quarter. You want to get it out quick in that first quarter.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, but it could also be, it could be as simple as a fly sweep. It could be as simple as a slip screen.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, it's just, there's so many plays that they can run that I think, if you don't think he's going to have four catches, I think you just... I mean, he'll have at least four targets. I mean, maybe, you know, whether or not he catches them all is another thing, but I put it at five. I mean, if you look at how many times the Patriots throw the ball, I mean, they throw the ball more than anyone in the NFL.
Right. If they're
they chuck it.
If their first possession of the game,
yeah,
he gets targeted early, like their first, you know, four or five plays, then you can think about they're going more down the path of what Christian says.
We'll continue talking about the Patriots receiving core, see if we get the debut next week of N'Keal Harry. Also, we've seen Mohamed Sanu now for a couple of games. We'll get these guys' thoughts on both of those players as we continue. This is NFL Sunday, brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance.
You're listening to NFL Sunday, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
Thank you.
Back here on NFL Sunday, Keith Fourier and Wiggy on Sports Radio WEEI. It's a bye week for the Patriots, but we're still here until 1 o'clock.
We're still here.
We sure are. Muhammad
Sanu. Those shirts.
Sanu's played two games for the Pats. Last week, in a loss to the Ravens, he had 14 targets, 10 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown. How do you guys view that one? Because I've actually heard it this week spun both ways. One, 10 catches in his second game. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. A touchdown and maybe one of the lone bright spots in the loss to the Ravens. Then on the other side, you've heard 81 yards on 10 catches. You really get 8 yards a pop for this new receiver. Where do you guys come down on Mohamed Sanu?
I love him.
I don't think that's, what are
Edelman's numbers? I mean, Edelman, if he doesn't have one of those, you know, short little catches, those little sit routes where he's finding the zone or where every now and then he finds some running room after the catch. But normally he's not. For a guy that catches 8-9 catches, you know, a game, you should have 120, 130 yards if you're a receiver. But I don't feel like.
But maybe, you know, isn't that part?
But he's more of like a slot receiver, so he's more of a tight end.
No, he is. But is that
as far as his route tree, his route running? So it's, you know, third and fives, getting sevens. It's the, you know, it's the quick to the flat on first down, picking up six.
And maybe that's the point too. Is it's almost like you are recreating Edelman and Amendola than you are something else, because Sanu's more like that. I'm with you. Because nobody complains about Edelman averaging, what, 10 yards a catch or whatever it is.
Sanu's just a bigger version of it.
Yeah.
A bigger body version of it.
Right. So if you're looking for any kind of down-the-field guy, you didn't get that here.
No, but you knew who that Sanu wasn't, that down-the-field guy.
And you still think he's a better option for this team than Emmanuel Sanders?
Emmanuel Sanders is not a down-the-field guy.
I think he's a little bit more so than Sanu.
Well, but when you think about comparing him to Sanu.
Yeah.
But if you look at Emmanuel Sanders and what type of player he is, he's not the guy that you think of being, you know, going down the field 30, 40, 50 yards.
Right. No, I mean, I feel like he's a little bit more dynamic than Sanu is, but if Brady trusts him, then so be it. For the Patriots, he's averaging 8.7 yards a catch. For the season, if you combine what he did with Atlanta and New England, he's averaging 9.3.
But think about the offense that
Sanders
the Patriots
is over 12.
Run. Think about it, but the offense is different, right? So when they look at this offense isn't a vertical offense. This offense is an offense that uses the whole field, and they're more of a side-to-side, a horizontal offense.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then, Brady's trying to take a shot down the field, but it's not really what they do.
You guys want to play a game real quick?
Oh, love my God.
Games.
I love a game.
I know Keith is such a – can you imagine Keith at game night? I mean, Keith probably
2-1
game night.
In our games.
Love games.
All right, so this
is between game you two. Is this a game or an exercise?
This is you know what? I'm not really sure how I should title it.
Is there a winner or a loser?
Matt's idea, so we're flying by the seat of our pants. Well,
is there a winner or a loser?
Yeah.
Of course there's a winner.
Oh, that's a game, then.
Then it's a game. It's a game.
Yeah, okay. I guess I could turn this into a game. Damn it. I probably should have produced this a little bit better.
That's all right.
Okay.
This is going well.
So listen, we were talking about rookie receivers and targets and catches. And Okay, so I'm going to give you – I'll give you six names. No, I'm going to give you seven names.
Okay.
All right?
Seven names, odd number.
Yeah. Can you tell me, out of the seven guys, who had the most targets as a rookie? Okay, and I throw these names out there too, because we're going to try and figure out how many times N'Keal Harry is going to be targeted over the next seven games. Regular season only, forget about postseason.
So these are just targets.
Yep.
These are just targets in no particular order. I'm just going to name them all off. Okay, all right. Malcolm Mitchell, Julian Edelman.
Whoa, Bethel Johnson. Wait a second here. Is this a fast-paced game? Or
No. He's going to give us the names, and
we're going to say out of that group
who had the most targets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bethel. So Josh Boyce.
Yep.
Aaron Dobson. Kembrill Tompkins. I'd say Julian Edelman. Deion Branch. And Malcolm Mitchell. Those are your seven guys.
Who do you think had the most targets
as a rookie?
I think it's.
Who do you got?
I would be pretty convinced it was Aaron Dobson.
I would probably go Malcolm Mitchell.
Okay, so Dobson and Mitchell. Okay. Well, who said Dobson?
Rich Keefe did.
Rich Keefe.
Damn. How did you guess? That's pretty good.
I know my wide receiver stats because look at that receiving
core. Because I was going to say Deion Branch.
No,
that was my choice before I looked at it, took all the time to research.
Probably should have been Deion Branch, but they threw the ball more the year that Dobson was there. Plus, if you look at the receivers they had that year,
there was nobody.
He was forced into it. All right, they had to throw to him.
So I bet
Tompkins was actually pretty high on the list too.
So what are the targets out of those guys? Who's first?
So Dobson is first, and there was a lot of different, you know, issues mm-hmm. going on with that year back in 2013 because mm-hmm. they didn't have any. Remember, that's the year they had that tight end. I can't remember what his name was.
Matthew Mulligan.
Like, No.
Scott Chandler?
No, it was he was a rookie, undrafted, tall guy.
Zach Sutfield?
Yes.
He was good in the preseason.
He was amazing in the preseason.
Yeah, he ran an 8-yard out. I don't know if you remember, Wiggy and Keith.
Yeah.
And he fell down running
against
into his
Jets.
Route. He never saw the ball again.
Yeah, it was against
ever.
The Jets.
I think what he a got gimmick. Cut what like a, 2 weeks what a, later. What a gimmick that was. All right. So Aaron Dobson was first.
How many?
Nine games, 72 targets.
Wow.
Yeah. 72, and he caught 37 of them. Next, again, same year, Cambrell Tompkins.
Wow.
Again, different set of circumstances, I think we all kind of can see. 69 targets, and he was the better wide receiver.
He was.
And he had 32. Then you go to Deion Branch at number three in 2002 with 68 targets. And that's still a lot
that
year when they didn't throw we didn't throw the ball a lot that year.
Right.
Julian Edelman, 2009, at 54. And then Malcolm Mitchell.
That was Julian Edelman's rookie year, 2009.
Rookie year, 2009. Wow. And then Malcolm Mitchell, which I think could be a comparable comp. And it could be a good comp in this situation.
Oh, that'd be great if he was like him.
So, but these are, and that's only six games, but I'm thinking this includes, that's got to include postseason, doesn't it, Matt? It's got to include postseason. Yeah, so that's kind of skewed a little bit because mm-hmm. we added postseason numbers too.
Okay.
Because Malcolm Mitchell had a couple big games in the postseason.
And he was great in the Super Bowl. Yeah, he was
great in the Super Bowl as a fourth, fifth option on that team.
Yeah.
That one year they went to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, are you guys telling me in seven games they won't throw him the ball 30 times? Call it 30 times in seven games. They don't have anybody, guys. I think whether you think he's ready or not is irrelevant. It doesn't matter. They have to throw him out there. They need to see. So you can read in to everything Bill is saying, especially Tom. Oh, he hates rookies. He hates rookies. He hates N'Keal Harry. No. The guy's going to get opportunities. I mean, because the history tells us.
But don't you think that if they're going to throw the ball, 35 times in a game, somewhere mm-hmm. in there, don't you think Edelman, Sanu, White, and Watson is pretty close to 30 attempts right there?
I don't know about Watson. I mean,
I'm saying throw him in for five or four. I'm saying it's Sanu and Edelman last week were targeted like 26 times. James White's going to be more. I still think he's going to throw to Philip Dorsett more than he would N'Keal Harry. I don't think it's quite as barren as it was. So the year that Aaron Dobson and Cambrell Tompkins had so many targets, Gronk only played in seven games. He was hurt. Amendola missed four games. So it was all Julian Edelman. He had 151 targets that year. And then everybody else, you cut that in half, and Dobson was just sort of forced into it.
So Brady had 46 attempts against
46.
Lamar Jackson, right?
Okay.
So when you think about that, you look at it and you go, okay.
And none of them were to N'Keal Harry.
No.
So he's able to figure it out then.
So here's a good thing. Here, I'm looking at the last four.
Gunner has four.
So think about this. The Patriots last five games. Here's Brady's attempts.
Okay.
Baltimore, 46. Cleveland, that was the bad weather game now. We'll take that, 36.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The New York Jets, 45. The Giants, 41, and the Redskins, 42.
All right, over 40 then. Over 40.
And when you say that's probably is going to be what this team is.
Yeah, because they can't run. So
he's going to be throwing the ball about 40 times a game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I guess there's
I think you guys, man, I'm so convinced that this guy is going to be involved. Not number one, but he's mm-hmm. going to be involved. I feel like Josh.
All right, so why? What's your reason for why he wasn't playing the first game he was eligible?
I think this is my original opinion. I think Teddy Bruschi kind of co-signed on it, and then Lombardi co-signed on it also.
So they both stole your take?
They did.
Yeah, okay.
I said it
all
first.
Right.
Well,
okay.
I mean, I want credit for it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
just because
yeah.
he's I'm sorry, I don't have
a... Not watching the All-22s?
Yeah, not once this year.
Right.
I refuse to be the All-22 guy. No, I just think there was a... I think it was a combination of a couple things. One, the fact that the game plan just dictated a certain, personnel groupings as far as what they wanted to do. I think they wanted more defensive backs, so that limited how many guys they could dress as an offense. And two, I think it was one more week. That's and I don't think it had anything to do with he's not ready, he's not this, he's not that. I think that there was more to do with that than, hey, we got to teach this guy a lesson and he's not ready.
Yeah, and then especially you get the bye week, too, on top of it, I guess you could say. You get this guy really up to speed, right? You got more practice time.
I mean, that could be it.
He's healthy.
Well, what do you guys think it is? Do you honestly think
I don't think they're gonna throw like him? Yeah.
Yeah. See, I don't think that they.
Yeah, pretty much.
I guess you could go. I don't know. It could be that too.
I wouldn't say that they don't like him, but maybe they don't think that he's ready.
Yeah.
Based on what they saw, because you got to understand, they only have a small sample size. Based on what they saw in training camp.
Before he
got nicked up. And then the third preseason game, because that's what you're really basing.
There's not enough on-field stuff for us to say he can't
practice.
Because I'm saying, because when Cyrus Jones, for example, who we saw in the Baltimore game, when he was here, it was easy just to watch him and say, nope, this isn't going to work. He's dropping punts. He can't cover guys. Like, this isn't going to work. N'Keal Harry, it's mostly guess. We have no idea.
Right.
Like, unless you were at every single practice, and even then, it's just practice. You saw him play a little bit in the preseason. He got hurt. You're like, well, I don't really know. I think we're basing it more off of rookie receivers in the past, which is not necessarily fair to N'Keal Harry. It's
Christian went down the list of rookie receivers, and if you're a 68, 70, 72 targets, that's pretty good.
I mean, even just in junk time, the guy.
Right.
So if we don't think the guy's any good, I think it's a terrible exercise. But I think the guy is good. I think he's talented. I think he got injured and kind of delayed his development, which I think is obvious. And with the Patriots, they always kind of just they rather err on the side of caution, right? And especially if they can afford to. Sanu comes in, Harry. I mean, Myers is already there. Dorsett is already kind of, prove that he can be relied upon. Edelman is Edelman. James White. They have other options. So, hey, guys, why are we forcing the issue? Let's measure three times and cut once with N'Keal Harry. And I think that's more than anything. And then once they decide the guy's ready, there's no restrictions. Hey, why'd you suit him up? He wasn't ready. Well, he's healthy.
Who
do you think the best rookie wide receiver is this season?
The dude out
DK
of
Metcalf.
Seattle, yeah.
DK Metcalf.
Okay, so let's look at this because I want to see just comparing. So DK Metcalf, right?
Yes.
His targets through 9 weeks, 54 targets.
Okay.
So when you look at it and you go, okay, when you look at the number of targets that the
he's on pace for, what, close to 100 targets.
But when you look at through nine games, you would say, yeah, who knows? But when you look at the targets that some of the rookies that we've talked about, Dobson, Kembrell, Tompkins, through a season, 72 targets, 69, that's not bad for a rookie. You got to understand, DK Metcalf is the second best receiver on his team, or he's the second option on his team.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
No rookie has come into this situation and they've been the second option. Even when you think about the names that we've thrown out.
Gronk and Hernandez both, because we did this exercise during the week, Gronk and Hernandez, their rookie years compared to their second year, they both got targeted like twice as much the second year than they did the
first
year.
Right, so when you think about the numbers and you go, oh, well, rookies, they don't throw the ball to rookie wide receivers. They actually do. They target those guys at, six.
Well, I think 13 kind of stands out as they were forced into it.
But even with Edelman with 54 and Deion Branch with 68, for a rookie, that is, that's a –
What do you guys think would have happened if N'Keal Harry was healthy all season when they acquired Antonio Brown and then they traded away Demaryius Thomas? What do you think they would have done would they have just kept that many receivers?
Yeah, I think so, because I think you would have seen basically the pace that we've talked about all these guys.
Yeah.
That would have been N'Keal Harry. N'Keal Harry would have ended up with somewhere between 55 and 70 targets on the season.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think he's one of the most interesting parts of the second half of the Patriots season. Obviously, you're hoping to get Isaiah Wynn back. He can't play against Philly, but he can play against Dallas, and hopefully he helps the offensive line. But what N'Keal Harry does, it could be all over the place. He could be as good as what Fourier is saying. Mm-hmm. He could maybe never even take the field. He could be somewhere in the middle. Like, I think nobody knows for sure, and that's why it's pretty interesting. All right, we will continue here on NFL Sunday. Let's go back to the Ravens game from last week. And I'll ask these guys if it was a big deal, a little deal, no deal for them to get smoked by the Ravens the way that they did. This is NFL Sunday presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com, and also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers and Needham Bank.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.